Esther chapter 7. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the blessing that we have to open your word. Father, I ask you to move your servant out of the way that you may have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Lord, for those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. Your word can do the same very easily. We ask you, Father, that you would teach us. And I ask you that you would teach me, that others may be taught. In your Son's most holy, precious, glorious name, we all say, praise God. Well, we'll probably have another month or so in the book of Esther. And then we'll be moving to a New Testament book as I like to always rotate from Old Testament, New Testament. Because the whole word of God is true. Amen. And we need to know how the Old Testament and New Testament work together. And the Old Testament is an Old Testament truth, but it's a New Testament reality. And we need to know how to blend them both together. We learn so much through the book of Esther. One, we learn how faithful God is, regardless of how faithful his people are. Not even mention his name one time in the book of Esther. Don't even talk about them even praying. And God shows his faithfulness. We learn in the book of Esther that a man's or woman's character is only strong as what bothers them. So we need to ask ourselves over and over and over again. What bothers me? Why does it bother me? What reasons do I have to be upset at what is bothering me? And ask God how we can change those things that bother us, because our character is based upon either a positive mental attitude or it's based upon a spiritual mental attitude. You can always know the difference. Many of us have tried to live that Jonathan Livingston Seagull thing. Gotta think positive. Gotta always hold yourself up. We can do it. I'm okay, you okay. Let me give you a little secret. You are not okay. I am not okay. If we were okay, Christ wouldn't have to die on the cross. Amen. And if he was okay after he died on the cross, he wouldn't have sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. We still have a lot of improvement. We've learned through the book of Esther that God that we love, that God that we trust, would do whatever it takes to mold us to be like Jesus Christ. Haman starts building the gallows, and we learn one of the most important questions. What are you building that God may have to use to kill you with? Don't ever forget, according to chapter 7 here. Don't you ever forget that we serve a God that's not only a loving God, but we serve a God that is a wrathful God. Not only just will he give his love, but he sent his son. But if you don't accept his son, what he would do in judgment. And that is a difficult thing for you and I in our society today, to really want to understand and really want to see and really want to grasp that God is not upset if he judges someone. We looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We looked at Psalms 1. You can look at Proverbs. You can look at all the verses where it tells you God will laugh at your calamity. He'll pour his wrath out, and he is satisfied. That's tough for us, isn't it? That's in judgment. And even though he does not want one to perish, he wants all to be saved. He must be satisfied as a righteous God. An eternity in heaven or eternity in judgment satisfies him. That's a difficult thing for us to want to swallow. Because we want to keep remembering that God of love and how good he is and how much he bends over and how much he trusts, how much he forgives, how much mercy, how much grace. But you got to understand there's just as much love in his wrath as it is wrath in his love. That's why God don't always answer the prayers the way we pray them. That's why God don't always give us what we think he should give us. And oftentimes we don't line up with God because God does not listen to your words alone. He reads your heart. And do you know that in prayer is where we, as the average Christian, sin the most? Oh, you're looking at me like I'm strange. I mean, it could be a little strange, but you shouldn't look at me like that. I'm very sensitive. Most of our times, you know, we're in prayer, we lie. Because we don't want to tell God the truth. Can't hear you. How about this one? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, is he really dear to you? When we pray, God, you can do anything you want with me. Well, some of us don't go that far, but we'll say it this way. Your will, not my will. Makes it sound more spiritual. Can I have an amen? But you know, for that out, we're lying. Father, just want to let you know, I just want to give you thanks for all the things that's happening to me. Lying. Can I have an amen? Lying, just lie, because we think God wants to hear that. You might as well tell him the truth. He knows. Before you put your lips in gear, he's already going, nah. God and his spiritual blindness. So we have to come to the conclusion, if we're honest with God, then God can honestly deal with us. I mean, he's going to do it anyway. You might as well participate. And when we get that type of relationship with him, when we get that spiritual mindset, it keeps us from having to go and rethink as we walk with him day in and day out. Because we constantly have to make sure we got the right perspective on God if we're going to serve him and please him. Haman had a bad problem. And the thing we learned in the first part of chapter 7, yes, God is a loving God. But when he's had it with you, he has had it with you. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are one brave person. You know how brave you are. You're telling God it's on your timing. And you never know when God has said, that's it. I've had it. Bye. And will laugh at your calamity. Verse 4. Esther chapter 7. Have I made you feel bad enough yet? Let's see if we can walk through what happens to Haman and encourage you not to be there. We already learned that Haman had built a gallows for Mordecai. And Haman's plan is backfiring on him because in chapter 6, the king has just honored Mordecai. And Haman is so upset, he cannot even be pleased. I mean, he is just terribly vexed. And he's just sitting there, and he goes home and he tries to get some comfort from his wife and his friends. And they tell him, you just messed up. You don't know about what the word says. Don't mess with the Jews. and you just did that, son, and the king just honored the man you hate, you are in trouble. And then they're called to dinner with Esther that night. Okay, are we in the same boat? Everyone's up, caught up the bar? Okay. So they're sitting at dinner. The king asks Esther for a second time, what is your request? Up to half my kingdom. What is it? And Haman is sitting there going through dinner, not feeling well because of what is taking place earlier that day by honoring Mordecai, walking him through the streets, dressing him up, putting him on the king's finest horse. It hadn't been a very good day for Haman. They're sitting there after dinner, they're having some wine, and you know what we said about wine? It's not the Bellevue wine. Can I have an amen? Oh, honey, we're not going to have a new car this year. The Bellevue wine. You guys know how the Bellevue wife called their kids to dinner? Come on, babes, get in the car. I'm just having fun with our culture. Here they are, just finish up with a little wine, and then the question comes up. What do you want, Queen Esther? And she says, just can I have my life? Will you save my life? And all of a sudden, the king's eyes are open. He gets full attention. And could you save our people's lives? The king's really looking by this time. And who do you think is having problems? He wants to go down to the Persian drugstore and get some laxative because that boy's locked up. He finds out that the queen is Jewish. Woo! Help me! I just want to emphasize, see, we don't make the people in the Bible real. Can I have an amen? They're just like you and I. They're just worth writing about. I put myself in that category. So we get to verse 4. She said, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, to perish. This woman is smart. And she says, you know, if we were sold as slaves, I wouldn't even bother you. You would at least benefit it financially. Come on, girls. You know how to put words together. Mess up us guys. You know it's all about you, babe. But, you know, I'm really feeling bad because you're not going to even benefit financially on this one. And I think you ought to think twice about that. But I would like for you to save my life. Oh. How would you like to be the king and find out that someone is plotting to kill your wife when you just found out that two guys were plotting to kill you, and yet, and early in the day you just honored the guy to save your life, the king's life. Now someone wants to kill my queen? Verse 5. Then the king, Ahasuerus, otherwise known as King Xerxes, said unto Esther the queen, who is he? Oh! Haman lost one knee on that one. I don't care what anybody said. That boy's getting weak in the knees right now. Who is he? And where is he? Boom. Who would dare do this in their heart to do this to me and my queen? We're going to go to some other verses in the Old Testament here in a moment. You have read these verses probably before. You've heard these verses. You probably sang these verses and didn't even know it was straight scripture. But man, what proof. What's the name of the, what's the title of the sermon today? Caught in your own trap. And Esther said, the adversary, the enemy, is this wicked, wow, is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I added that. How many of you don't think that this man right now is shaking so bad he can't even see? He know what? Oops. Thank you very much. And he just found out another biblical truth. Who let the dogs out? This man is hurting right now. I mean, what would you do, folks? Your greatest plan, your greatest trap has just backfired on you. And as your pastor, I want to tell you right now, if you got some traps going on, drop them. Oh, come on, you can talk to me. I do a lot of counseling. And over the years, I learned one thing, and I used to do it, but I will not do it anymore. And that is, I used to counsel couples individually. I would have the wife come in, or I have the husband come in before. Nope, not anymore. Can anyone tell me why? Because I don't care how spiritual you are, if you're going to come in for some counseling, you are a little selfish on your side and you want the pastor on your side. Most people don't come to counseling to get fixed. They come to get their side proven. And there was times, folks, I have one of the ladies come in, sit down and talk to me. And by the time she got through, I wanted to beat the boy up. Can I have an amen? Just whip him. Bring him in here. Get back. Whip. Ah, pow, pow. What's that? Be worse than Indiana Jones. And there was times that the guys would come in and sit down and talk to me. And after he got through telling me what was going on, I could be thrown in jail for wife abuse and she's not even my wife. But you know what's amazing when you bring them both in? At least they know which one is. They know if the other one's telling the truth or lying. They may not admit it. But you're going to know if both of you sit in that room. And I'm going to get a lot better balanced story. Amen. Now here's the king and Esther sitting in there with Haman. My boy, knowing he is in serious what? Trouble. Shaking. Ah! And the king is so mad. He is so angry that he gets up and walks out of the room. You ever been that mad? Oh, come on now. Come on, you Christians. You ever been that mad? Yeah. Nah, most of the time we don't get that mad because we speak up. We let our mouths run before we put our brains in gear. Come on, talk to me. Positive mental attitude won't keep your lips shut. Only spiritual, controlled by the Spirit of God, will make you shut up when you know you should. No! I'm just trying to be honest, folks, you know, because you, that lip was quick as me, move us. I know how to speak Greek. you want to say, and it's not oftentimes just bad, it's going deep south. It's not profound things you say, it's profane things you say. Positive mental attitude won't stop that. Only the Spirit of God can. Just stop you right in the middle of a sentence and walk out. That's what guys, ladies, if your husband don't have a garage, put up a wooden box. He's got to have some place to go. Can I get an amen? Amen. And by the time he gets there, he's forgot. I know we're fighting about something. Now, you ladies still remember the first date you met, first conversation you had. I know God just messed us up. with y'all. We cannot talk here. Can I have an amen? What do you think Haman's trying to say? What is Haman going to say to the queen? King done stormed out. He went to the garage. It's called the royal garden. That's where his garage was. He stormed out. I better not say nothing until I cool off, because I'm going to kill somebody today. And when you're the king, talk to me. You can do that. So Haman tries to get smart. I love this. And the king, first of all, rising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther. Now, why? You just passed an order to kill her. Didn't know she was Jewish. Didn't know. How many times have you said something like this? I want to give you a little secret today. This is free counseling. Want to give you some free counsel. How many times you ever got mad, said something, and then said, I didn't mean that. Don't you lie to me. How many times you got upset and went off at the mouth, and then when you get through, you go, I didn't mean that. I didn't know. You know, I didn't know. Do you think that's going to be good enough for Esther to forgive Haman? Oh, you didn't know I was Jewish? But you want to kill all other Jews? That's going to be okay? Not knowing is no excuse for being foolish. Not knowing is no excuse for being unloving. Not knowing is no excuse for not being sensitive to those in the family with you. And just be honest like you should be honest in prayer. When I said it, I meant it. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And I don't know how you say I'm sorry. Just make sure your mate knows how you say you're sorry. Amen? Oh, is this really getting to be that sad? You should be bubbling. You're getting the truth. God's excited when you tell him the truth. Go in prayer and you sit down and you just go, God, I just want to tell you right now, I don't have nothing to thank you for. I can't hear you. You think God would love that more because that's what you're saying in your heart? You think he'll love you more for being honest with him than, dear Heavenly Father, how much I love you and you can do anything, not your will but my will, and you align every word out of it? He can deal with honesty. Your mate can deal with honesty. You can say anything to one another if you do it with the right perspective. Haman standing before the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. I guess you better run over there, boy. The girl got you. Checkmate. Caught in your own trap. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman had fallen on the couch where Esther was. How stupid is this boy? That's why on Saturdays I love to pick up commentaries. I love to read and see what others have said. And I don't know where they got it from, but one commentary, check this out. One commentary said that the angel Gabriel. Yeah, what? I heard that. What? Now, I didn't make this up. I just read it. They said the angel Gabriel was in the room. And just as the king was walking back in the room, Gabriel pushed Haman on top of Esther. I don't know about you, but this would be the first time in biblical history that boy jumped up and told an angel off. Can I have an amen? What are you doing pushing me on that woman? Oops, there it is. Yeah, he falls down on the couch next to Esther to beg for his life. The king walks in and he says, what? You're going to force yourself on my queen? First you want to kill her. Now you're going to sexually assault. Oh! I don't know about you, but things are not looking very good for Haman. My boys is going from worse to worse, going from the outhouse to the hole. He is in bad shape. He's going from the frying pan to the... Ken, I'm going to have him roll you out of here. You cannot scream fire in a crowded room. Bam! Now, I've been waiting for a long time to bust you like that, boy. See, once you get going, you can't get him to go out. Anybody got a sock? Are you trying to molest my queen? So as the words went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that's a very good sign. Come on, ladies, don't listen to this because I don't want you to know that we know some of your secrets. I'm just talking to the guys right now. Guys, if you're having a conversation with a lady and she covers her face, is it good? Ladies, you don't know what that does, what that'll do to us. You cover your face and start crying, we're through. And always remember, don't ask a man a direct question. Our brain shuts down, just quits. And it can be a very simple question, too. You got to come through the side and back door on us so we don't know it's a question. Because if you do, it just, our brain just... You ever had that blank look on your husband's face when you just ask him a very simple question? Like, are you still alive? I don't know what's going through Haman's mind, except I am in some serious trouble. And let me give you a secret, Christians. Go ahead. Go ahead. Try to set a trap for family. Go ahead. Try to set a trap for your mate. Children, go ahead. Try to set a trap for your parents. I'm encouraging you. Go ahead. There's a God that knows all your plans. We had a young lady one time decided, when I was doing youth work, to sneak out of the house. Waited till all the folks was asleep. Had set it up, but she was nice all day. Didn't even have to be asked to take a shower, go to bed. That's guys, isn't it? Went to bed without any argument. Family was just going, wow, this is something. They went to bed. About 3:00 in the morning, the cat came through the window and knocked the post off, window slam, enough to set the alarm off. When a house has an alarm at 3:00 in the morning, what does the occupants do? Can anyone tell me? They all run outside or do they stay in bed? Oh, they all run outside. It worked really good except for the daughter. She wasn't at the house. So when everyone got outside except her, what do you think the parents are thinking? Oh no, she's still in there. She had a heart attack. We better go get her. Parents are that naive. No. They was waiting for her when she came home. You know, God knows your plans. And he can even make a cat set the alarm off. Try it. You'll like it. Woo! I love this one. As the words went out, they covered his face, verse 9, and Harbona, what a name like that. That guy would be beat up in my neighborhood every day. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains in attendance upon the king, said, hey, you know what he did? He built the gallows. He's got a big one, 50 cubits high. Now, some of you don't have the slightest idea what that's like. I said that's 75 feet. He built the gallows 75 feet. Can I give you a little perspective of how high 75 feet is? You're looking at this roof in this gym. It's probably about 25 feet, 20, 25 feet. Let's just say 25 feet. That gallows he built was 3 times higher than this gym. And he did it in one night. And Harbona says, oh, king, he built the gallows 75 feet high to hang Mordecai on. Hint, hint. Can you see Haman's face, folks? I mean, really? Can you see? Who? You think he's upset at Harbona? Bruh! I thought we was tight. And God will close a deal. Even if the king just thought about having a little mercy, him laying on his wife, and then that gallows being built for the man he just honored, seal his death. And I want to tell you straightforward. Don't have God have to seal your death with your plans to trick and trap someone else so it benefits you. Whether it's an employee, whether it is an employer, whether it is a work partner, whether it is a husband, a wife, pastor, a church, I don't care. God will make you get trapped in your own trap. How do we know that? Glad you asked. Verse 10. The king says, I'm verse 9 there at the end, hang him on it. So they hang Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath, what? Pacified, subdued. Walked away, finished. Guess what? Want a wild little guess from the pastor? Anyone can tell me the king was okay, but who is still mad? Can anyone tell me who is still mad? Queen Esther. And brother, sister, we're going to walk through the next couple of chapters on what this woman did with her anger. Is it good to hold on to anger? Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you so much for your word today. And thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear your word. May we rest in you, Father. May we understand that you are in control. And may we understand that you are the only one to have the right to judge. We cannot know no man's heart. But Lord, we can know their actions by what we see, by what we hear. Let us deal with people according to those things instead of trying to figure out their motives. The Hamans, the Mordecais, the Xerxes, and the Esthers in our lives. Help us to be a great witness to them. And may we never be the same when we understand this truth. In Jesus' name we all say, praise God.